Ice, baby.
Hey.
Yeah, Ice. Bust down, Tatiana. Yeah, Ice. I want to see you bust down. Bust down, Tatiana.
Bust down, Tatiana.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT Hoops Pod. It's Quitty Slanger speaking. I got my co-host in the building with me, Ansel Jackson. Ansel, what's good, baby?
Yeah, what's going on, Quit?
I got the cuzzo, Derek Slanger, in the building as well, my producer. What's shaking, Derek?
Nothing, I'm good.
Chilling, yeah. Coming off a tough loss last night.
Yeah, 108-107.
To the Bulls, unacceptable loss. You got to win those games. Like, you just can't lose those games. With the way the standings are looking, how tight things are, you just can't lose that game.
I think just kind of the 1-2 stretch, I think since the last time we recorded, kind of alerted us to a couple of problems that we knew existed. But now, I guess with 17 games left in the year, I think a lot of the fans think they need to be addressed now. So the first thing I wanted to kind of ask you was just what are your thoughts on the play of Ben, Tobias, and Jimmy? Just since the last time we recorded, and then overall the 7-game series without Embiid since the All-Star break.
All right, so Ben, I mean, I think his production obviously has improved. He's been doing more. He's been playing more, obviously, so your numbers are going to go up, you know, naturally. But I think he's been playing a little bit better. He's been playing off the – he's been continuing to play off the post like he's been doing all year, but kind of striving in that direction. He's still distributing the ball at a high rate, so I think, you know what I'm saying, he's still getting his teammates involved, scoring when he needs to, being more aggressive. What was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week? That week he averaged 18.5, 10 boards, 8.8 assists, so just about 9 assists. So, I mean, he's getting the job done. Yeah. Definitely. What do you think about
and
Ben?
For me, I think defensively, too.
Of course.
Defense rating 108 over the past 3 games.
108?
Yeah.
That's
3 steals a game in those as well. He's playing the passing lanes really well.
Right.
And I think that's just one of the things people underrate, just having a 6'10 guy kind of at the spearhead of your defense and just
right.
being able to
be at the top of the defense, yeah. guarding the point guard. And not to cut you off, but not necessarily – he can't necessarily stay in front of those smaller guys because they might be quicker. Mm-hmm. But like you said, him just being at the top of that defense or even when he's playing in the back, like that free safety, kind of how LeBron used to play, you know, early in his career, mm-hmm. he's so dominant. But one – like he – we were talking about this earlier, his turnovers have been a problem,
yeah,
especially late in games.
Recently,
huh? five games.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. Obviously, he's a 6'10 kid, you know, learning how to play the point guard on the fly. This is his second year, you know, actually playing the position. So, but like in crucial moments, he's turning the ball over. Last night, you know, up 2, instead of slowing that up and, you know, probably getting a good shot, getting the ball to Jimmy, probably getting to the dunker spot, like I always say on this show. You know what I mean? He got to get his ass at the dunker spot.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And give the ball to Jimmy Butler, but he tried to push it up and make something happen in transition. He turned the ball over. So his greatest strength, just his ability to make plays, can be his weakness sometimes too.
Yeah. What about Tobias? Just kind of over the stretch as well. The 7-game stretch
right.
in particular, 23 points a game, 8 boards, 2 assists, 1 block, 2 turns a game, but that's not bad just given the amount of possessions that he gets.
Right. Last thing I want to say about Ben before I touch on Tobias, he's not looking to shoot as much as he was, you know, like in the last couple of weeks, as he was in the weeks prior. Like before
so
the All-Star break, he was starting
three.
To shoot the ball a little bit more. He was saying, you know, Brett Brown told him to shoot 2 jumpers a quarter or whatever the case was. You remember he said that?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been, you know, shooting the ball as much. And I don't really have a problem with that. If he's getting in the lane, he's shooting above 60% in, you know, the last 2-3 weeks or so. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying he's not shooting the ball.
Yeah, I think this last 2 nights in a row, all of his shots were in the paint. So that is weird. I didn't realize it until
he took
now,
a jump shot last night. Took 1 jump shot, like 1 pull up at the foul line.
Yeah, but all of his makes were in the paint.
Right.
Maybe because Joel's not there. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't feel the comfort to shoot the jump shots. Well, because the games have been tight now.
I don't know. Let's end that because it's sad at this point that we're trying to make excuses why he won't shoot a jump shot. But he, you know, he's so great at other things. So you can't. I mean, we're not gonna. I mean, I don't like harping on the fact that he doesn't shoot, but it's definitely interesting. Like, he hasn't been shooting the ball as much. But to touch on Tobias, I mean, he's been carrying us offensively, right? He's
23 points a game.
20 plus in the last 5
mm-hmm.
With Embiid out. You know, he's just that scoring machine at the 4. Like, he's embracing that role, being that stretch 4, like, being able to score from all 3 levels. Like, he's been doing that. He's been passing the ball well, too. He's just been, like, that perfect fit in our offense, and it's actually crazy to see, like, I don't know. I mean, I love Tobias.
Yeah, in that Orlando game, we were texting back and forth, and just how the chemistry between them, you can see it growing game by game.
Right.
Like, as soon as they pull off Butler and Redick from the floor, and those two get to just kind of operate and spin, like, Ben just be finding them off of everything, off of every action, fast breaks.
Ben and Tobias chemistry is definitely, awesome. You know what I mean? That was a natural fit. I mean, but Ben, I feel like Ben could play with anybody the way he plays.
Prefer, like, Tobias moves off the ball knowing, like, it's just like, it's like he's almost played with him for years sometimes when you see the kind of movement off of one another. What do you think about Jimmy Butler? I think he hasn't shot the ball particularly well in the stretch without him. 41% effective field goal rate, 17 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals.
Right. But Jimmy Butler, I mean,
particularly passing the ball a little bit better.
Jimmy is just so confusing because he's just like a wild card. Like, it's either up or down. There's no in between with Jimmy Butler. Like, whether that be him sleepwalking through the first 3 quarters of the Magic game and, you know, not really doing much on both ends, and then him dominating the last 4 or 5 possessions on both ends. Like, it's not really a consistent thing with Jimmy Butler. It's on and off, and, you know, all the distractions, obviously, the media makes up with him too, you know, goes along with it, so you kind of always on your toes, like, you don't know what Jimmy Butler could be doing now. Like, what is he thinking? Like, why isn't he playing hard this game? And he brings it the next game.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's kind of weird. This stretch kind of showed me, like,
why he's not a max player. Like, why we can't give him the max. Right, and why I don't think another team would even offer him a 5-year, 190 contract.
I don't know. I think for sure somebody would throw him in the bag.
It would have to be around. Like, if I were a team that was willing to throw the $35+ million a year out of it would have to be at a 2 or 3 year deal, because you don't know how it's going to be in the year 4 or 5 of
Jimmy Butler.
Like, so if you want to take that risk, it would be a short term risk,
right?
And then maybe with like a player team option or something like that.
You still be getting max money though. Somebody will give him max money, a contender too, a contender or a really bad. Like they were saying earlier, I saw earlier, if the Lakers don't get say KD, Clay, or any of those dudes, like the top guy. You know, Jimmy Butler, right? But that's just, you know, the insurance policy, you know.
So
Jimmy Butler
here's being my thinking. Everyone always says, like, yo, people are going to go straight to L.A. or New York. But, like, it's hard to always jump from system to system.
Right,
to
let me finish my point, though, about Jimmy.
My bad, but
yeah, but I'm saying just them bringing him to L.A. They can bring him to L.A. They can bring, you know, Boogie to L.A. Maybe they were saying Boogie, too. Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's not anything crazy. I forget who was saying it earlier, but they were like, that can be, you know, the backup plans for the Lakers, and you can kind of, solid young guys. You got Lonzo, Kuzma, Ingram. That's the best part about free agency. You don't have to give up anything, right? You add a Jimmy Butler, you add a, you know, a Boogie, somebody of those, you know, that caliber. So Jimmy Butler can definitely get, you know, the money somewhere else. Like, mm-hmm. Somebody else would definitely throw him a bag if the Sixers don't. So, but that's what I'm saying. Like you said, it's kind of showing us that he's probably not the max player we need if we're keeping.
Would you be fine if, like, this is kind of just the question I think everyone's been asking, but would you be fine with just Tobias, Ben, and Embiid?
I would don't think we'll be title contenders with just those three, not yet. I think we'll still need one more piece, you know, at least in the starting lineup or off the bench. We still need a couple more.
Could it be a developed piece? So not Zaire particularly, but could it be a guy that is brought in, like a Josh Richards? I don't know, like some, like a guy that can score 17 points
a game.
It
has to be a Jimmy Butler level player or better. I mean,
I guess what type he
is. I mean, if you guys,
because I with asking that, I think Tobias can grow a little bit more into
all three of them.
That lead wing score.
All three of them will, but you know,
a little bit more space. If Ben's going to, because on the stretch right now, if he's averaging 20-13, like he's taking a lot more shots.
Right, but either way, you still have to add in another two-way player at that three. If you have J.J. Redick or whoever you put it to two, you still need another elite three, like, you know what I mean, at that wing position. If you're going to go Jimmy Butler, I mean, not Jimmy Butler, if you're going to go Ben Simmons, Tobias, and Jimmy, I mean, Ben Simmons, Tobias, and Embiid, you still need a, you know what I'm saying, you need a three that's going to play both ends, kind of like how Jimmy Butler did. Somebody has to be an elite on that level if we're going to move forward without Jimmy.
I feel you.
But I don't know if you asked this, but I would take Tobias right now over Jimmy.
Yeah, I also agree. I didn't, but let's go to the, I guess we'll start just down the stretch of the 3 games since we last recorded. We'll start with the Warriors. For that game, for me, I think just KD just had it rolling early. He ended with 34 points, had 11 in the first, and then 12 in the third, along with Curry, who gave us, he went on a 9-2 run in the fourth quarter himself. I think it was just difficult for us to keep up with those guys without Embiid.
Right.
And they just kind of showed why they're championship guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because the Warriors have kind of been struggling, so struggling to their standard. They lost five of their last eight, so but they beat us at home, you know, in that little stretch. But that's kind of – I looked at that as a kind of like a – I don't know, you not a moral victory because I don't really believe in those, but you kind of look at those – you kind of look at that as, okay, well, they got up to play the Sixers. You know what I mean? Like, they that was a team – it wasn't like, oh
– before they used to come in and chill. Yeah, like,
somebody come in, Magic come in, the Warriors got the Magic, and they, you know, think they can go out, roll the ball out, don't play KD and just get the dub. They actually want to beat the Sixers. They want to make a – you know, we're a team they wanted to make a statement against. But, you know, Steph got hot. KD got hot. I don't think Tobias necessarily had a good game that game. If you have his numbers up from that game.
No, I don't have Tobias's numbers, but for we'll pull that in a little bit.
I don't think Tobias, I think he struggled. I know he missed a couple threes down the stretch. He missed a couple threes down the stretch, period, that were good looks. And JJ did the same thing. You know, some of our guys were just struggling to make shots. They say it's a make or miss league, and that was kind of the case for that game. It was just one of those things where, you know, they're the defending champions. They made shots in big moments. Like, yeah,
Tobias had 20 that game, 7 for 20 from the field.
7 for 20, 20 on 20 shots, so he wasn't efficient.
Another point for that game, the turnover battle. Once again, Golden State forces to have 21 turnovers to their 13, like, it's got to be a closer margin when you're playing guys like that, especially for Ben Lee. I think that was one of the things that I pulled earlier. Points off of turnovers from his in particular, he averaged, I think it's like 11 points a game off of all of just his turnovers. And in the fourth quarter, nine turnovers in the past three fourth quarters.
That's horrible. That just can't happen from your starting point guard. But Ben against the Warriors, 25, 15 boards, 11 assists.
Yeah.
You know, he had a dominant performance, 10 for 15 from the field. He played well. He likes to play the Warriors, it seems like. Plays well against them. Jimmy Butler had 21 on 16 shots. Didn't really have that efficient game. Bolden played pretty well that game. Mike Scott was 6 threes. That was the big. That's what kept us in the game. He had 6 threes off the bench. 22 that game.
JJ was awful. 2 for 9. Yeah, over 3 for 3.
Another bad JJ game. And just to touch on JJ too, how he's been playing. He's kind of been struggling to find his shot.
Roller coaster.
Yeah,
I would say is the
as opposed to when we first made the trade, he was kind of benefiting off Tobias and Jimmy and Ben and Embiid all of being on the court. He was kind of that forgotten guy. So he was all the pressure was off him. He just had to go play his game and shoot the ball. He was knocked down, but now teams are kind of keen on him later in the year. And I'm kind of looking at it like, damn, like JJ's really 34. Like, of course, how great he is, but you know, it's later in the season now.
We can't depend on him to always give us 18.
Right. Could his body kind of be breaking down because it's, you know, later in the year? He needs a little, you know what I mean? Like, has to be 20, you know, 18, 20 points per game with how, you know, shallow our bench is right now.
Yeah.
If you want to touch on the bench a little bit, I mean, nobody.
So, all right. So one thing, just I always like to say, TJ's been playing
consistent.
Well.
And TJ, no one, you know what you're going to get from
no
TJ.
No one ever likes to give him the – well, here in Philadelphia, we give him the credit, but a lot of other fans just think that he's a waste of a spot. And, like, that Golden State game, he played 20 minutes, 10 points, 4 assists, and steal. Like,
he's always a positive on plus minus. He always a positive on plus cool minus.
In the background.
Resident
Lakers fan, real sick right now. So yeah,
it's all good, man. TJ McConnell will probably be the starting point guard on Lakers right now, actually.
But overnight.
Yikes.
Whatever, man. So yeah, I mean, Simmons and Ennis, we haven't really been getting much from them. Those are two guys we expected to come in and be, you know, pretty consistent two-way players off the bench. And
so before the Chicago game, which I know we're going to get into, like you can't have he had 1 point against Golden State. You know what I mean? Like, just like if you're gonna be a bench guy that plays 17 to 22 minutes a game,
you have to score the ball.
Yeah, you have to score the ball and shoot the ball. He shot one field goal.
You have to shoot the ball. You're not gonna score if you don't shoot. Jonathan Simmons doesn't shoot when he's out there, which bothers me. I remember last night.
Not Jonathan Simmons, I'm sorry, Ennis.
Ennis played well last night. Yeah. That was the best game of those two out of any of them had. I think that was the first time they scored double figures. You know what I mean? They don't really do much off the bench, and I thought they were going to be, you know, experienced guys that can, you know, kind of just be two.
Yeah, we talked about the pod,
you know, 6 to 8 points each, you know, every night. But I mean, they haven't been that so far. So hopefully they, you know, they're active bodies on defense though. That's a positive. So hopefully, you know, the rotation shoring up in the playoffs and, you know, they come in and fulfill their roles and probably make a couple shots. Like, they just have to make a couple shots. We just need a three or two, Ennis and Jonathan Simmons.
Yeah, and then you would have played your role for the game.
And that was fine, yeah. Jonathan Simmons score in transition and play defense.
All right, so that's a 121-17 loss to the Warriors. The next game was Orlando. We had the lead going through the game, a 10-point lead in the fourth that slowly was whittled away. I would like to preface that, though, first, that the Magic were 10-4 leading up into that game. So they'd beaten teams like Golden State, Milwaukee twice, Indiana twice, Milwaukee and Toronto.
They're fighting for a playoff spot, man. They have something to play for. Teams they're playing when they're beating up on these or creeping up on these top tier teams, the teams at the top of the standings, they're taking nights off when they're playing. No disrespect to the Magic, but not to say they're taking nights off. They're all professional athletes.
But they're catching teams slipping.
Yeah, basically. And they're beating teams. They're playing hard. They want to make the playoffs. They're right in that 8-9, you know, race with the Heat. So, you know, they came in and they gave us a fight.
Yeah, so in particular that game, we went on a 5-minute stretch where we were stuck at 1-on-1 and just didn't score a field goal. You know what I mean? So that just cannot happen like in the fourth quarter of those games. Like,
Brett Brown and his sets.
All right, explain what do you mean by that?
We get too stagnant. He wants the free-flowing, you know, dribble handoff, everything being an action, moving, you know, structurally, when sometimes you just have to, like I always say, you just have to give the ball to somebody and tell them to make a play. Like, you got to put the trust on the player to make that play, you know, get to the rim, get fouled, put some pressure on the referee to call a call late in the game. Like, you have to put the pressure on a player to do that. Like, everything doesn't have to be, or everything can't be a set.
Yeah.
And that's while we struggle late in games with Brett Brown's, because
kind of overcoaching.
We get too stagnant. Let me just say the last thing is where it gets tricky is we're up tempo team, but we also run sets. So if you see Brett Brown on the bench, you see him a lot of times push the pace. You know, he's telling them guys to run. But it's all to get into a set because your point guard, your lead guard doesn't shoot.
Yeah.
So he's either all the way to the rim or it's a dribble handoff. So you're pushing the pace and it's kind of just getting into a set. And now that team can key in on what you're doing. You got J.J. Redick coming off a dribble handoff. It's not really – it's a threat.
It's not a different look for the four points. Like, all right, we've seen it for three quarters
we
now.
Saw
like, let's just get a stop.
Exactly. And now we know what – exactly. And that's why the talent is very overwhelming. When you have an Embiid, you can just throw the ball to one block and say, all right, go ahead and score. So he covers for Brett a lot.
Yeah, you sometimes know, breaks
our,
the sets.
Our talent covers for Brett a lot late in games, and we kind of – even games we give up the lead, we still, you know, pull it out at the end. In a lot of games, we don't.
And I guess maybe that would be just Brett being so used to not having, like you said, the talent.
The top-tier talent guys.
So he had to overcoach in those, just to maintain that 8-point lead, because, like, if you let it go, then all of a sudden it would be an 8-point lead and we're actually down 4.
Right.
But just to close with that game, Jimmy and Tobias did – close out well. Jimmy had 6 points in the final 2 minutes. Had two big free throws late. Scott and Harris did a really good job playing Vucevic and Gordon.
I like Mike
up
Scott,
late.
Man. If he stays consistent, hits two or three, that was a great tweet. Somebody said Mike Scott's everything we wanted Wilson Chandler to be. Hit a couple threes, be a tough nosed guy. You know what I'm saying? Stick up for your teammates like he did for Ben. Like, dude, just those moments being that gritty teammate. We needed that on the team. And I like Mike Scott a lot.
Yeah, so that game was a 114 and 106 win. Also in that game, Patton played his first 9 NBA minutes. Hopefully, we'll see more out of him moving forward.
Not this year, but yeah, keep going. Not hopefully. I don't want to see him anymore at all because I want Joel Embiid to come back.
Yeah. and Boban, too. I didn't forget about you.
Yeah, and Boban.
So then we have last night's disappointing game against Chicago, which...
Zach LaVine is a problem. He's a problem. Like, before you even get into that kid and hoop, man, pure sweat. Drew Hanlon, everybody that puts in work with him gets, you know, they just get crazier than him. Markel had a little summer, but his nerves actually didn't work. So that's nothing Drew Hanlon could do about that. Yes. But yeah, anyway, Zach LaVine, man, he's a problem, man. He should be in the running for most improved player. He probably won't get it. His team's record, so.
Chicago is 6-4 in their last 10.
Yeah, they got like 18 wins though. So yeah. 19 wins. So
and they beat us, but they beat teams like Brooklyn, Orlando. They beat Boston recently as well.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, they beat.
They're just a pesky team.
Yeah. So they beat us. I don't really want to talk about that game because it pisses me off. I ain't gonna lie to you. Late in the game, it's not funny, dog. It really pisses me off because you can't lose games like that.
Rob, all right. So two or three things. For me, one, we went small, I guess, to just close the game out, and Robin Lopez was just killing us on the glass.
He was killing Mike Scott on the glass.
Like, I don't understand. Like, sometimes our team defense just watches guys get abused down there. Like, there's no gang rebounding aspect of it, which is kind of just.
We don't impose our will on that end, and we have the personnel too. That's why another thing people come for Brett Brown is like, we don't impose our will on that end. We should be a dominant defensive team with the length we have. The speed, the athleticism, we should be a top.
Sometimes Embiid makes up for that, but even without him, like that's still we still have enough length and defensive tenacity on the court.
Right, so okay, so we went small with Mike Scott. Who would you have him on the floor?
Don't have a problem with it, but the way that we defended when we went small, so like we were just leaving guys on an island, just to rebound alone against Robert Lopez. Like that's just not.
You can throw double. You can't. I don't know necessarily who you would double. Maybe Zach LaVine, when he got it going like that, you can throw doubles at him, but you have a smaller, quicker team that can react. So shifted something up or make an adjustment on defense. Like, we just weren't getting stops.
Because at that top of the key, like when he was like, there was like a lot of the handoff screens when he would just go right every single time and then like sometimes get back to
he come off and then he just get active in that in and out.
Why
game.
Not just collapse on that and then make someone else make it? Like I'd rather have Otto Porter or Chris Dunn. Like,
or let them shoot, right. Those guys on, but it's not like anyway, it's not a secret who the ball was going to at the end. And what is Zach LaVine comes off, dribble hand, Robin Lopez, dribble handoff. Zach LaVine takes it right.
And both guys fucking, they go to Mike's, Robin Lopez, who's 20 feet away from the basket, which just doesn't make
Mike any Scott's, stop. Well, I mean, Butler probably could have got through, but it was probably smart that he
so
didn't.
Bad.
And they both stay with him. Zach LaVine gets a free lane to the rim. Ben jumps up with them.
Why Robin Lopez? That just doesn't.
Why stay with Robin Lopez? I don't know, but. Mike Scott, I think, fouls him at the rim. LaVine finishes. They win. My night is sour. I'm still mad about it, and I'm sick until we get to play. Nuts, until we play Houston tomorrow.
So for that game, just we had 0.5 seconds left on the clock, and just I think a lot of people today in the Philadelphia area specifically have just kind of been in uproar about Brett Brown. I think when things go wrong, a lot of people like to blame the coach, and a lot of times you and I both defend Brett Brown, but we agree that last night wasn't one of his best performances late.
It's hard to defend him. Hard, just say it's hard to defend Brett Brown. After not hard to defend him in
hard
general.
To defend that game.
Yeah, that game didn't help.
Yeah. Just because I think there were two opportunities we actually had, and the first set that he drew up was just a lob to the rim. Just kind of give me what you thought of that initial play, if you remember.
So, the action started with Tobias at the top of the key. Ben was inbounding, of course. I think Jimmy was in the left corner. JJ was on the left wing.
Yeah, he pulled Chris Dunn out away from there.
So, JJ came to the top of the key, I believe, the screen for Tobias to go to the corner. As Tobias ran to the same corner Jimmy was in, Jimmy just cut straight to the basket, and Ben just lobbed it up towards the rim. It was a pretty bad pass by Ben. It barely got there.
Yeah.
Didn't really give Jimmy Butler a chance, but there was no misdirection. There was nothing to have the defense really react to.
Okay.
So I don't think it was a good play.
All right, so not to put you on the spot, but like, what would you have done differently? Just if you want to get a lob to the rim in 0.5 seconds, like just give me kind of with our personnel and that's
right.
The head. And
so what I would do from my coaching lens, I would screen. If I want to get the ball to the rim, I'm screening with my best shooter. Mm-hmm. You always screen with your best shooter. And I remember this from playing at the Sales, Brian Lehrer. Shout out to Brian Lehrer. He was our best shooter, and he would always screen because they're not leaving your best shooter.
Okay.
So naturally, if you screen with a J.J. Redick in that instance, you screen for, say, Jimmy Butler going, you know, towards the rim with J.J. Redick. If they leave J.J. and go with Jimmy Butler, then you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, JJ pop, going towards,
yeah,
the ball,
towards the ball. He come on and get a shot. Right. And if not, you throw the ball to Jimmy Butler at the rim and you try to get something, a tip in or whatever, 0.5 seconds left. But you always have to screen with your best shooter. And we didn't do any type of action to make them switch or react. And that was what was concerning about what he drew up and what he has been drawing up on a consistent basis late in games.
Yeah.
That's pretty much people's knock on Brett Brown. So what do you let's discuss then what makes a good coach? Like, what makes a coach a quality, you know, reliable, you know, the standard coach? What, you know what I mean? What makes the good coach?
So there are a couple of components. I guess that maybe three, and I'm thinking these on the spot. One is just handling a team dynamic and team stars, which I think is just managing personalities, which everyone always says. I think two is just in-game coaching. So if a guy, like if say like Eric Spoelstra throws a completely different set where we're just blitzing, they're just blitzing Simmons as soon as he crossed the half-court line, like how do you adjust to that? And then I think the third...
So being able to adjust on the fly.
Being able to adjust on the fly mid-game.
Right.
And then I think the third is just developing... putting guys in, like, just your lower-tier guys in comfortable spots just to where they're not, like... You can kind of get the most out of your lower-bench guys is, I think, maybe the third thing that I would attribute to being a good coach. Like, stuff like Brad Stevens, Kenny Stott, or Kerry Stotts. Those are...
Right, those are... I would agree with those. Those are obviously, like, important. Those are, you know... the basic, you know, just of what, you know, what you would look for in a good coach. I have been, like, just that connection with your players. Like, you got to think, we're all humans at the end of the day. So, if you have that connection with your coach, if you feel, you know, your coach has your back, or what if you feel you can connect to your, like, your coach has been in your shoes, or what, just different scenarios you can kind of feel that way to grasp with your players. If you have that connection as a coach,
yeah,
that's part of, you know, what makes a good
Something
coach.
Deeper than basketball.
Deeper than basketball. They know
it's comfortable with
right. They know it can call you whenever, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah. The X's and O's are obviously important. They're not as important as connecting with the players. I'll tell you that. And I know that from experience. But the X's and O's are obviously important. You have to know what you're doing at the end of the day. Like, and that may come from experience. That may come from, you know, just the natural knowledge, but you have to be able to draw up a play on a fly. You have to be able to put your players in the right position at all times. You have to know they can go to coach to make the situation the best, you know,
and
best
case
scenario.
And I think that's what sometimes scares people about Brett, and I think what scares us as well, just, like, he really, that's his just poorest part of his coaching, just
drawing up
trade, is just drawing a place on the fly. Like, last night we've seen last year in that Celtics series when he was going up against Brad Stevens late game play for play, like he just doesn't have the arsenal of things to throw at you with the given guys that we have.
Right, and that connection with players is what he's actually really good at. So, not really good at, but that's where his strength is, you know what I mean, as a coach. He seems like a player's coach. It seems like a lot of guys gravitate to him, a lot of guys like him, so.
And I do think, for what it's worth, like throughout the game, like our game plan isn't bad. Like how we beat up and bully teams, like, recently, like what we always say with Ben, just quickly coming down and posting smaller guards early in games and just having him rolling downhill early, like stuff like that. Like, that's a part of coaching.
Right.
Or when it was two nights ago when Tobias hit that, or Mike Scott hit that shot late against the Magic. Like, stuff like that is coaching, like making sure, like, we're getting into a quick set to where we get a quick shot off early and just demoralize the team. I don't know. Like,
right. No. So last thing I want to say about the coaching in general is just the accountability too. You have to be able to hold your players to a certain standard in every single one of them, whether that's 1 through 15. What my college coach would always say to us is, he was like, a lot of people say I favor people, or I have favoritism. And like, this always ties back to just being humans. Like, of course you're going to favor people. He always would say, yeah, I favor people. I favor people that work hard. I favor people that, you know, care about their life. I favor people that, you know, get the class on time. I felt, you know what I mean? He went on and on about who he favors, and it makes sense. So at the end of the day, you have to be able to hold, you know, everybody accountable. Whether he would always say, okay, people ask me, am I fair? Well, yeah, I'm fair. I don't treat everybody the same, but I'm fair. Right? You know, everybody's not the same person, but I'm fair. So that's kind of like how coaches have to kind of approach it is, I'm not going to treat every person 1 through 15, or if you have a football team 1 through 52 or whatever, I'm not going to treat everybody the exact same. But
yeah, somebody has a
fair,
longer leash than you. Like,
right. You have to be able to hold everybody accountable to that to a certain standard, yeah, if that makes sense.
I understand.
It makes plenty of sense. So, that was good.
And to where does Brett Brown fall in that for you? How you seen how he's reacted to players and not calling guys out per se, but making sure that guys are listening to what he's actually saying. This post-game press conference is translating to the floor. Do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, if I was to rank Brett as a coach, I'd say he's like a 7 out of 10. I think he does a really, like, this kind of taps into what I was going to ask and what we were going to discuss. Is it harder to coach talent? Yeah. Not talent, it's harder to coach stars, like a superior talent to, you know, most others. So we were I think Brett Brown does such a good job of, you know, molding all those personalities we have on a team and just making sure everything blends. Because, you know, if you have a team, for the most part, you're going to have a lot of different personalities, and especially a good team, too. Like, all those guys are going to be different in how they got to where they are. Like, these are all dudes, you know, that are from all over the country. Like, you know what I'm saying? To be able to blend all those personalities,
yeah,
you know, it's not an easy task. So I think, you know, Brett Brown definitely, you know, deserves the credit for that. And I think it definitely is harder to coach.
Yeah. Starts out. I agree. I can't really add on to that because I think you said it all, but he's done a good job handling them so far. And I think if we make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or even deep in the second round, like go 7 games, like, we should have a lot of confidence in moving forward. So right now we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back to you guys with a new segment that we've been working on. All right, TNT Hoops.
Welcome back to TNT Hoops Pod. We got a segment that we wanted to, you know, a new segment we wanted to add in. We thought it would be a good one. It's basically like a true or false, but we want to add a little twist on it. So it's called Facts or Cap. So it's a little, you know, a little twist on it. So facts being facts, like that's true. Like you get it, like that's facts. Or cap, like nah, that's not true. You're capping, like that's not true. So basically the gist of it is, you know, our producer Derek, he's going to, you know, read off, you know, some type of, you know, statement or whatever it is, and we're basically going to say facts or cap. So, let's get it cracking.
The Laker fans will give LeBron a standing ovation when he passes Kobe. Facts or cap?
I say that's facts. That's facts. I mean, they better. That'd be crazy if they didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Kobe's their dude, but that'd be crazy if they didn't.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's facts as well. Given that, I think it will happen next year in the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah.
All this had blown over from this year's.
Hopefully, they'll be getting some W's. LeBron be healthy.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler will be a Sixer next year. Facts or cap?
I think if Jimmy Butler wants the max, that 5-190, heavy cap.
Cap.
Heavy cap.
It's cap. All right. Jimmy Butler being a Sixer, I mean, I think it all depends on the run we make. You know what I'm saying? If we go to Eastern Conference Finals or deeper, he really have to make the decision, but he going to have to take a little bit less Brad. I know how, and I'm saying they want him back, but.
Yeah. That 2023 to 2026 range, maybe. Right.
Well, we make a run this year, so facts. Facts, Jimmy Butler is back next year. Facts. That's straight facts.
I like that. Brett Brown will be the Sixers head coach next year. Facts or cap?
Cap. That's cap. Man, I've been defending Brett Brown since day one, but it's tough when that guy that was there through all the losing, he doesn't always get you over the top. So he might be our Mark Jackson, and we might be looking for our Steve Kerr if we don't necessarily make the run we need to make this year. And I think we'll go maybe Eastern Conference Finals is what I'd be satisfied with, but it depends on how that series goes. So I think he doesn't do enough, and it's
damn dog, you kind of actually surprised me with that, because I initially said facts, but hearing that, like, I kind of not totally agree, but I'm starting to come to grips
with him not being a
head coach, which I understand, but I think that our team is dedicated to him enough to where even if we lose
put
in
him
the second
upstairs.
Round, yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, put him upstairs. It's cool.
Just,
Brett Love, the guy. Yeah. He's, I mean, a player connection guy, man. But that's cap. He Brett Brown will not be that's cap.
Kyrie Irving will be playing alongside either LeBron or KD next year. Facts or cap?
I think that's facts, man. I don't think Kyrie is particularly happy in Boston. I think he enjoys playing basketball. That's all that you see going on right now. He's going to play out the rest of the year like a man, and he will have his little thing with the media. But at the end of the day, Kyrie Irving plays basketball really well, and the Boston Celtics will go far in the playoffs and lose to the Sixers ultimately, and that will be his last game in a Boston Celtics uniform. That is heavy facts.
So it's facts. He
facts Kellerman.
So who was he playing with?
Kevin Durant in New York.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. I say that. That's facts. KD and Kyrie going to New York, man. They already there. It's crazy. I made fun of the Knicks when they made the trade, getting Porzingis out of town. But, yeah, man, it was clearing cap room. And Cancer said they're getting some max guys. So, those might be the dudes. Those two, I ain't even going to say it, man. The different guys in the NBA, KD and Kyrie.
Punks.
Yeah. But that's facts. He's gonna be playing alongside KD next year.
No, KD. If you hear your man, he talking crazy about you. He heavy capping right now.
I'm backpedaling crazy, KD. You don't be answering my DMs no more. You crazy boy? Nah. But I mean, imagine if he went to LA and played with Brown, and they went and got it rocking again. Like he would really be the number one option. Like Brown would be chilling so hard. Brown would be the best role player in NBA history.
KD, you been my man, and whatever you did with Golden State is cool, but if you do that, you really got to mix me. But
if you go play with him, if KD goes and plays with Kyrie in New York and they win, like, that's stamping both of them. Like, they play, yeah, like, yo, we 100%.
But if you go with Bron, that's a...
Who, Kyrie?
No.
KD? Yeah. Nah, he'd be weird.
But the question was for Kyrie. I think Kyrie plays with KD. If he goes with Bron, though, that would be cool. But
okay.
I think that is the last thing that we have for our facts or cap segment. We got one more. My bad.
One more. Is KD a Warrior next year?
So it kind of leads up perfect. I'll say that then. That's cap. Yeah, that's cap. I mean, we just said it. That's cap. Cap. That's cap. He's going to New York.
Yeah, y'all did just say
he's
it.
He's going to New York.
We did just say it, and he did move his media company to New York. However, I did, like, earlier in the year, I thought that if they win another championship this year, and then they're going into the new building at Oracle, like, what's this? That, like the influence of Steph, like, that can't be ruled out, you know what I mean? So, right now, yeah, it looks like heavy facts that he's going to be playing in New York, but if they win another championship.
Right. I was saying also, Broussard be running his mouth all the time, but Chris Broussard was saying if KD stays one more year in Golden State, like, nobody's ever won four straight.
Yeah.
So, why not do that and then go try to win somewhere else? And you really try to be stating yourself as one of the GOAT, you know, as a GOAT or, you know, one of the best to ever play. So, that could be another route he can go. But I don't think he's a Warrior next year.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our new segment, Facts or Cap.
Facts or Cap. Hope y'all like that. So next thing we wanted to touch on is basically the playoff picture. We always want to, you know, dabble with that a little bit. How the league's currently constructed. So the East right now, Ansel, correct me if I'm wrong, got the Bucks at 1, uh-huh. Raptors at 2, Indiana at 3, the Sixers at 4, Celtics at 5. Pistons now at the sixth spot, taking over that spot from the Nets. The Nets are at 7, I believe, half game back. And the Heat took that eighth spot from Orlando. And in the West, the Warriors are up top. Denver behind them. Houston, then OKC, then Portland, then the Jazz, then the Spurs, then the Clippers still hanging on to that eighth spot. So,
yeah. So yeah. When you sent this topic over to me earlier today, I kind of decided to do what I'd heard on a couple of previous just media outlets, just ranking the playoff teams in tiers, essentially.
Right.
So tier one being kind of the championship to contenders, tier two being like fringe conference contenders. They may have a surprise appearance in the finals if things were to go right or fall their way. And tier three would be teams that didn't have a chance but are pesty and kind of can give teams fits in the first or second round if they were to make it. So I'll just rattle off a couple of teams that I think are
so
tier one.
Should we just do the playoff teams then?
Yeah, we'll just do the playoff teams, and then we'll do eight or the 9 and 10 seeds as well that are fighting for that eighth spot. So Bucks, Raptors, tier one teams in the East. Agreed, right?
I agree. Yes.
Along with teams like the Sixers, Celtics, tier one teams. Those are the only guys I have from the Eastern Conference.
I mean, yeah, I agree. But can you have four teams be tier one if they're?
Yeah, because they're all going to compete. Like they're the upper echelon. That's what I'm saying. For the right. East, there's four teams that are actively competing to go to the finals.
Okay, so we agree. So no Indiana without Oladipo, they have no chance to compete with those. Because that's
I have them at tier three.
Tier three?
Yeah, tier three. I don't think there's a chance. They're, like, so many things would have to go wrong for them
to win a series.
Yeah, to win three series, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Okay, I agree. No, I agree with that. So, I mean, yeah, I'd have them in tier two, yeah. though.
No, I don't have any other teams in the Eastern Conference in tier two. I don't think any other team. Those four teams, I think, is locked. That's the final four.
Bro, I mean, if they play Boston in the first round and they're a four seed, like, that can go six or seven. Like, it's not like a foregone conclusion. Like, Indiana plays defense, so they're always in games. I don't know. That's I just think, yeah. I don't know. I just thought they'd be in that mix, you know, that low 1-2, I guess.
We'll agree to disagree. For the West, I have, for tier one, I have the Warriors, the Rockets, skipped over the Nuggets there, and that's it for the Western Conference. There's only two teams, I think, if they made they're the only championship contender, so even if another team were to make the finals, I think another team in the East would.
Yeah, I think you got to give OKC a puncher's chance, too, if you give the Rockets, just because of Paul George and Russell. They have two superstars and they lock up. They play defense.
Yeah.
Down in, you know, second half of games, they really lock up.
I have them in the top of tier two, like right kind of scratching for that tier one range, along with teams like the Nuggets are tier two, just because, you know, they don't have that one guy to push them over the top, but they will push a series to seven, no matter, I think, who they play. And then I think that the Lakers, but the Lakers doesn't seem like they're going to be making the playoffs. I don't know if you want to start talking about that
We can, bro, because these tiers and all that, I mean,
because if the Lakers made the playoffs, like, I would have them as a tier two team because they could challenge anybody, and if things were to fall their way.
I mean, they couldn't, though. Everyone was healthy, shown that they can't.
That's what the tier two thing is. Like, if things were to fall their way and guys were healthy and going into the playoffs, they could make some noise. Not saying they would beat the Warriors if they made it to the Western Conference Finals, but they could make it there if they had the correct path. Say if the Nuggets overtook that one spot, but they won't now, even though they're one game back. But let's talk about the Lakers. I think last week on Thursday, a week ago today, I believe, you and I sat here and gave our Lakers playoff predictions, and you so adamantly backed LeBron James and Los Angeles Lakers.
Forgive me for backing
LeBron. No, listen. Trust me. I understand. Some of us can't see it. Some of us got LeBron goggles on.
LeBron goggles. I mean, listen.
But some of us are able to take it off. Let me finish. Some of us are able to take it off and see things for what they really are.
Okay.
And from, I think, 2 weeks ago, when LeBron returned back from injury, you could kind of just see there was a different energy after he tried to trade the squad.
So, hold on. Let me ask you this, though.
After he tried all
you
are everybody.
About to throw this up. So, you're going to try to. So, who'd you have being the eighth seed?
I had the Clippers and the Kings.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You had the Kings. I didn't hear anything about the Clippers.
I do remember the Kings.
I don't remember anything about the Clippers. And the Kings might not make it. The Clippers are playing. Are the Clippers in the seventh side?
The Clippers are in the eighth seed. They're tied with the Spurs, 37-29.
So the Kings are going to catch the Spurs? Because it's not like the team you predicted that was going to make the playoffs. It's just like automatically in right now. Okay, yeah.
So I do agree. I agree the Kings may not make, now looking, they may not make the playoffs. But that's before I knew the why did the Clippers want to make the playoffs?
Okay, so now I also think about how horrible the Lakers have been. The Timberwolves have been worse. You said they had a chance.
I said they had a shot.
Yeah, well, I said the Lakers had a shot too. I said we.
All right, but what was a bigger prediction? Like, the Timberwolves is just a 2 second. Listen, like, maybe the Timberwolves. Listen, don't try to harp on that. Yo, fuck out of here.
No, I don't care how you try to throw it and try to. No, you said the Timberwolves and you said the King. Like, these are the teams you were backing. Listeners, I was backing the Lakers.
Listeners. You see how he tried to take a 2 second Timberwolves?
You see that? Twist that thing right around. What's up with him? Like,
that's why I call you Quiddy Bayless.
Acting crazy. Like, what's up with him?
Nuts. LeBron listen, okay, 25
look, I'll address it. You said I'll address it. Okay,
come to the stand for your man.
I'll address it. So, No, I didn't go into this thinking, okay, the Lakers would be the most unhealthy team in basketball. They're missing their starting point guard. What I've been harping on, they've been missing Lonzo Ball. I thought he was going to come back. He hasn't. He's been. I think he got reevaluated.
But they brought in the veteran Rondo just for that.
Okay, but you still need another guy to play the one. Like, you can't just have one point guard. Like, and then you're putting so much on LeBron's shoulders. Josh Hart. What is it? Tendonitis in his knee. He hasn't been. He started off this year high. Hasn't been himself. Brandon Ingram's been missing the last couple games. He's been playing shoulder well, injury, like yeah. I predicted. Kyle Kuzma scares me because I don't know if this is a ceiling or I don't really understand his game. I know he's a scorer, but he doesn't do much else on the basketball court. So I mean, it was just a misjudgment of, I guess, thinking, you know, LeBron could rally those younger guys and get some W's, but they don't play any defense. They don't play defense. They don't shoot the ball well. They don't rebound.
Is that not spearheaded by LeBron, though? That's what I thought. I mean, I know it's a bigger problem than just him, but when you look over and you see your star guy kind of lagging on defense, he doesn't do it all the time. It's not as bad as people try to make it seem on Twitter, like with all the clips that they cut up.
Right.
I don't know. He wasn't playing defense last year either.
I'm not trying to hear this, though. You can't. I mean, okay, the dude's 34. You're asking him to carry the load on offense. You're asking him to play 40 to 45 minutes a night. And you know on the offensive end, he has to create. Okay, you can say LeBron system or whatever. Yes, he does. He does, or they won't win, bro. They won't win. They will not win. You can say it all you want. They won't win with Josh Hart trying to create for himself, Rondo trying to create for himself. They won't win. So LeBron has to he's carrying the load on the offensive end, whether that be scoring, you know, creating shots for others, and then you're asking them to lock down on the other end. Like, okay,
asking them to be the lockdown defender and take on the best guy every night, but like show some effort in those late game scenarios.
I jump off the Lakers bus easy when, you know, I'm seeing possessions where he's standing around playing little to no defense. Yeah, but you're not about to ask him to lock down, be a lockdown.
I'm not saying do that for 40 minutes a night, but when it matters, like, okay, I wanted to see you engage, and okay, he hasn't been engaged in those
the same way. The same way LeBron carries them on offensive end and has their back, they should have his back on the defensive end. You got to play. I mean, listen, if the Warriors want to be the best version of themselves, they have to play with Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
Boogie Cousins right now has a liability on their team. They're going to have to play and defend for him. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else going to have to bust their ass a little bit more, and that's kind of what the Lakers team had to do for LeBron. He was getting his win back. He just came off an injury. He didn't play for 18 games. Like, I mean, that was natural. I mean, we think, okay, it's LeBron. So, I mean, I thought.
All right, so how much of the onus do you put on him then? So since you danced around a little bit, how much of the onus of them not making the playoffs this year do you put on LeBron James? How much do you put on the rest of the Lakers? How much do you put on the front office and Luke Walton and all of that?
Okay, so.
Just break it down to me.
Okay, so. I should ask you that because you probably think 100%.
No.
Because
no,
you saying,
I don't think 100%. I think.
Well, if I say, okay, well, the front office didn't do a good job of getting, you know, the right guys around LeBron, or they didn't, you know, get enough shooting around LeBron, what are you going to say? That's who LeBron wanted.
LeBron has a stake in that. He's not the whole thing. So if I break it down.
LeBron touches on everything, 100%.
No, it doesn't.
That's what you're going to say, though.
That's just not.
Go ahead.
I would put on the floor stuff. I would put 40% of that on LeBron.
On court stuff.
Because a lot, he missed 18 games. He's out with a groin injury. He's coming back. He's getting a win. But a lot of that's on effort of your star player, and a lot of that's like it just is like no matter what.
What do you get 40% from? Like though,
I'm throwing a number out there, and I'll put the rest of the Lakers.
Like okay,
team,
he missed 18 games. Like, that's not his fault. He missed 18 games.
Yo, but I'm just saying, like of the on court issues that we've seen this season, that's a big percentage. A star. Like no other star accumulates that much of the share of the failure of the season.
Okay, I'll let you explain all that.
I would put the rest on the Lakers team. I would put like the 30% on the Lakers team. We're at 70 now and 30% on the front office.
Okay.
The front office bringing in guys like Rondo, JaVale McGee.
But the front office is LeBron. He has a stake. He has a share to what's going on.
If you don't think LeBron James
is
running through all of those decisions of, all right, should we bring in Rondo as the veteran on a 1-year
LeBron's
contract?
LeBron's not signing the papers.
He's not signing the papers, but it's the yes or the yes or no comes from LeBron, and then the papers get signed, right or wrong.
No,
if LeBron says no to Rondo, Magic's just bringing him in regardless. Just answer me that. If Magic says, hey, LeBron, I'm thinking about bringing in Rondo, what do you think? And LeBron says no.
Anything LeBron says is going to influence him. That doesn't make that.
So
that's
what happens?
Decision.
But Magic and Mitch Kupchak really want to bring him in. What happens at that point?
So Magic and Mitch Kupchak really want to bring in whoever. X and whoever, whatever player.
No,
it's not Mitch. It's not Rob Pelinka.
Yeah, Rob Pelinka.
If Magic and Rob want to bring in Yeah, so go ahead, Will. It happens, whatever. If Rob and Magic want to bring in so-and-so and LeBron, they really want to bring in somebody and LeBron says no, you think they're not going to bring them in because LeBron said no? If they really want to bring in somebody, Magic Johnson.
They would talk about it, but at the end all be all, LeBron says no, I don't want that guy here.
So they're going to say they're not going to bring him in. That's what you think. That's what you honestly think.
Yes.
Wow, that's bad because...
It's not bad.
Bro,
it's
just, so he's just not going to trust his judgment because of LeBron James.
Because LeBron James on the fourth end of the day.
Magic Johnson. We're not talking about.
Magic would disagree, but LeBron says, listen, no, I don't want to play with that guy. You're not going to just force him on LeBron.
Like I said, so why are you trying to backpedal for me saying that you're saying 100% on LeBron? You just said if.
He has a piece of that, though. Like,
how is that a piece?
But it's a conjunction. So, like, it's
do you see what I'm saying? How is that a piece? Look, if you say if they really want somebody to come in and LeBron says no, they're just going
to
say.
Well, I guess it's an impartialness to it. So it's like a. It's like, so maybe they came to him with JaVale. Like, what do you think? JaVale, he's like, yeah, why not? Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's just like, there could have been a better job done this offseason. And I think if whether that's,
of course, I agree.
I think y'all getting away from a few key things, though.
What are we getting away from, Derek?
No, y'all both have compelling arguments. There's no way to really prove it till the season's over. That's the kind of thing that comes out in the book for real, or investigative reporting. But to Ansel's point, LeBron does get a lot of credit for the moves that get made on his teams for the past few years. But to your point, superstars do get ignored by the GMs all the time. Kobe used to take the list to them. They were like, man, shut up. Jordan was like, yo, get this guy. They're like, yeah, your list sucks. So
the best players aren't always the best evaluators of talent, they say. Yeah. But listen, all right, the Lakers are done.
So aside from all the drama, I would like to give, I know it sometimes comes off as if I'm the biggest LeBron hater, but I think I'm just being honest. Him passing Michael Jordan last night was one of the coolest things I've gotten to see just of my basketball fandom. I think, where is he at now? So LeBron James right now is at.
Kobe's was cooler. It was cool. I respect LeBron, man. I think he's the best all-around player to ever play. Just how many different parts of the game he can affect, like, on a consistent basis, I think he's the best all-around player to ever play. Mm-hmm. If y'all know me, I know Kobe's my guy. Kobe's definitely was cooler, though, because he was on the road.
But you began to touch on something, though, the manner of which LeBron passed Jordan, like, the whole totality of the scenario,
right.
I think is why you think Kobe's passing Jordan was cooler.
No, I think Kobe's was cool. I'm talking about just the scene.
Oh,
I mean, because if you got to really think about it. It's kind of, I mean, it is what it is. It happened how it happened. But bro, he was on the court with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alex Caruso, bro. Like, you laughing, like, this dude played in the G League. No disrespect to Alex Caruso. He can hoop, like, whatever. He's on the plane in the best league in the world. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't think LeBron sat there and thought, like, damn, like, you know what I mean? If I was in Cleveland right now, God, this would be the craziest moment. Like, or yeah, like, you know what I mean? Even if he was in Cleveland, right.
They stop in the game. Yeah, bring that. They stop in the game.
Of course, it's on him. So, you know, that little moment he had on the bench, I know some stuff was running through his head to the point where it's like, damn, I'm surrounded with these kids. I'm in, like, you know, Hollywood. I guess it's a glamour type thing.
To
but
be
it's
honest,
like,
no, I don't think he thinks that, though.
Yeah,
I think at that point, the rush of emotion just, I was never a good basketball player, but for you to, like, there are stats and then there are things.
And so you weren't bad. Don't talk to people. A lot of dudes are trash, bro. You're not bad.
There are a lot of, like, accomplishments that you can cross that, like, a lot of people can kind of just brush by the wayside. But passing your favorite player and the guy that everyone talks about, like, and everyone compares you next to, like for a person, I can't even surmount to what that would feel like.
Right. No,
you
know?
I think that was raw emotion.
It was crazy. And a couple of stats on that. What makes it interesting is LeBron played in his career 1190 career games, and Jordan's played 1072. So LeBron's played 118 more games than Jordan. But LeBron shot, Jordan shot 24,000, a little above 24,000, and LeBron's like 23,000. So Jordan has about 1,200 more shots than LeBron. So. Yeah. Jordan shot the ball more, but LeBron played more games. And, like, the point you brought up earlier is LeBron
1,100 more threes. So, I mean, that just shows you the inflation of the game. But
right.
To each his own. I just don't think it's weighted that heavily.
Hey, listen. LeBron's career field goal percentage is 50%, Jordan's 49%.
I think that's a bigger, like, I think that'll be a bigger point than that's the previous one.
No doubt.
But wait. What's LeBron's? I'm sorry, say that again.
I think it's like 50. I saw it last night. It's like 50.4, and Jordan's like 49.7.
I'm saying, listen, all hairs with that one.
Yeah, listen, it happened.
All of that, like,
LeBron's desire.
Trust me, like, it's like the numbers are cool, but I think where I think of a lot of the older NBA analysis that have come out and said this week, at the end of the day, like, the I think it's just the story of Jordan is cooler. Like, if you were to write a book or a movie, like, that is exactly how you would want to write it. LeBron was more just natural, and like, we all grew up with LeBron and, like, seeing his every single move and action on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. So it makes him look a lot more flawed to, I think, just the general public. So I think that's why it doesn't look as good.
Right. So is that why you think Jordan's the GOAT?
I think that's why Jordan will go down in the minds of just the general public.
Well, see, this is what I don't get.
We didn't have an eyeglass into what was really going on back then, which is good and bad. But I think that going along with undefeated in the finals and all the things, I'm not going to repeat again. It makes people stare in awe at Jordan a little bit more.
So I'm not one of those people, and obviously you guys know that. Mm-hmm. Like, I borderline disrespect Michael Jordan to the point where sometimes I have to be like, "Yo, chill." Like, that dude was amazing. But I don't think, like, when people say go down, like, what do you mean he won't go down as? Like, is the world going to end? Like, you know, it's like it's always going to evolve. Like, there's always going to be better and better players and athletes.
Not always, but I see what you're saying.
The legends. Yeah, what do you mean? So I can try to explain it. I think the legend will go down. Like, when you, like, I really do think that's a thing. When you write a storybook and when things are carried on through history, like, when people are going back and watch, just comparing documentaries, like, everyone will say LeBron had way more stats, this, yada, yada, yada. But as long as, I think, for us in particular, like, those older people are alive.
Well,
like,
let me elaborate then what I mean more about that then, to touch on that. If you say that, is it a story, career, or player? Like, are we talking about the player, or are we talking about the achievements and the accolades, everything that came with it? So you're saying,
but the player.
Let me finish. Because you're saying, you know, Jordan has a better, but Jordan has a better story, and you know, you would draw it out this way. That's a matter of opinion at the end of the day too, though.
Yeah, but that's kind of how Jordan conducted and carried his career. I think a lot of the decisions that LeBron has made resulted in some of the scenarios that he's been placed in, and where Jordan kind of just laid low and played basketball. I know that was the style back then. Like, you just stayed on one team and all this, that, and the third. But it worked out a lot better for him. And it's not LeBron's fault. I'm not putting that, like, as LeBron's fault by any mean, but it is what it is.
We're comparing someone who we saw every detail of to someone who, like, we're comparing a summary to a detailed career, technically. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because older people who, like Bill Simmons, for example, he points out the flaws in Jordan's career a lot. So
yeah, and we do forget all of the, like, getting knocked out of the first. Trust me, he didn't have a flawless career, but I'm not saying that by any means. And like, there's ups and downs to both, but
I'm just saying that I guess LeBron, some people really, like, whether it's right or wrong, some people will think LeBron is better, hands down.
Well,
I think he's
the better basketball
player. No.
And when I look at these debates, and I have these debates, I look at skill set and what they're doing, the on-court product. Like the impact on court.
You know,
and my only thing is, when I leave these arguments, is, like, I don't want people to say, I don't want it to be, Michael Jordan you can't compare him to anybody. Or people look at it as, you can't compare Jordan, like, LeBron and Kobe. And,
that's fair.
You know, these dudes just don't compare. It's like, what do you mean they don't? Like, this is 20 years later. These dudes have just been getting better, faster, stronger.
So maybe
how don't they compare?
A better way to ask is, who had a more gravitational impact on their team, given, like just the specific teams that they played on? Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to, not the best way to phrase it.
That's a better way to phrase it.
And I think that would lean towards Jordan, right?
Like, yeah. Well,
it depends.
That's what I'm saying. That is a matter of opinion, but yeah, it depends on what, like, how you ask the question. But I'm clarifying for myself, when I say so and so is the GOAT or this person's the best ever, I think they're the best ever. I'm saying, like, I say Kobe's the best scorer ever. Like, him and Jordan, I guess, are, you know, 1A or 1B as the best scorers ever.
What do you call best scorer?
But
don't even get to that. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Score, I mean, just being able to score from all three levels. Okay, just, fair. You know, whenever you want, basically. The KD, Kobe, Jordan, that tier.
Okay, those, okay, those guys, I got you.
Whatever. And LeBron, I think he's the best all-around player. And that's just how I view it. And that's how I'm just clarifying that that's what I mean when I say the GOAT. Like, he's the greatest of all time at, you know, being the all-around impact he puts on the game.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that is a good spot for us just to close off our 10th episode of TNT Hoops. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in this week. Keep liking, subscribing. We appreciate the support from all of you guys. Any guys you want to close out, say anything to the people?
Yes, sir, no doubt. You already know. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram, Quit Slang Hoops, Quit Slang, Slang Hoops, Hoops. On Instagram, on Twitter, I'm Quit_Buckets3. And Slang Hoops Chat on Twitter as well. So, you know, follow me on there. You know what I'm saying? We get it cracking there. I'll give you the updates of when the pod's going to drop and, you know, other things of that nature. Just follow me if you want all the good stuff. All
right, yo, Derek.
Follow me on everything. Talk of Philly on every form of social media.
Talk of Philly, T.O.P. We coming
soon
to the
top. Be married, baby. You know what I mean?
And this man getting married. Acting crazy.
Oh, man.